Good evening to everybody. Now, first of all, if anybody has any questions, anything you could always ask. But I want to review from last week, and I want to just frame it, if possible. So Chazal in Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is a Sefer Mishnayos that's attributed to Avraham Avinu. The Sefer Yetzirah is predicated upon the idea of the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creation created something called the Ten Sefirot. Ten Sefirot Blima. There are ten emanations. Because Hashem is above and beyond anything that we can relate to, recognize, or even fathom. So He created a projection of Himself. And that projection are the powers that He let us know. And with this, we can understand who He is. The Ari says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the goals, and the Ramchal quotes that extensively in Das Tvunas, one of the goals of Bria, of creation, is for us to know Hashem, God's names, to reveal His names. Because name, the word Shem in Hebrew, is the same spelling as the word Shom there. Chazal say, Asher Sham Shomuis Baoretz, Al Tikri Shomuis El Hashemuis. The there, the defining aspect is the name. The name is how you define something, right? You want to call an attention, you want to define. That's what the name is all about. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave ways of us relating to Him, right? And those are the ten sefirot, which becomes the kernel of the world of all existence. They are in spiritual form, but in the world of correspondence, in the world of correspondence means that everything physical is nothing but the physical expression of something spiritual. And this, what we're learning now, the Shlo, is going to quote the Ramban. And this is the basics of our understanding, that whatever the physical world manifests itself, the rules, the existence, the science, is a reflection of spiritual realities. Which means from the spiritual, you could infer the physical, but most important, from the physical, you can understand the spiritual. That's why the Gemara says that if you have even a goy, even a non-Jewish person, who is old, you have to give him respect, like you give respect to Talmud Chochom. Why? The Gemara says in Kiddushin, karma harpasko yodu alayu, because they saw a lot of life. If you see and you presence and you experience life, you're experiencing Torah. Because physical life is an expression of Torah. And that's what I mentioned last week, that's why you have so many such intricacies in creation. Fish, billions of type of fish that you don't even know what they are for. Because they're expressing spiritual realities that on the spiritual sense is necessary and it makes sense. Okay? So that's the world of correspondence. That's why the world was created, Sefer Yetzirah says it's created on a scale. And a scale means that there are two plates. Whatever one plate moves, there is a corresponding move on the other plate. This is this world, that whatever happens here occurs in spirituality. So the ten sefirot out there become reality in this world of the ten mamarot. The world was created with the ten mamoras, right? The ten utterances of creation. They are the physical, we'll soon see if they are really physical, expressions of the spiritual ideas. Okay? Those are the ten. What are the ten sefirot? We'll see how they are divided, because it's very important, and you see that because the whole goal right now of our class, the first shiurim, is to take away from people something called concording. Concording is to take Bria, the creation, and to try to take it very Christian, which means very literal. And to assume that God, actually, the world was almost like a Christmas tree. That first you turn on the light, and then you hang this, and you hang that. And that's not it, right? We understand the Chazal. Rashi is already bothered that the Torah should have never started with Ma'aseh Bereishis. Right? Why? Because, says the Ramban, because you can't understand. Ma'aseh Bereishis is a closed book. Which we're going to go, what I want to do with you, is once we explore the spiritual dimensions, we'll see how this manifests into the physical, and we're going to see what is the physical world that the Torah is talking about. Because you see, according to the Kabbalists, even the physical world that the Chumash and Bereishis is talking about is a different physical world than ours. which comes to explain the last word that comes to explain. That's why we have this discrepancy of the age of the universe. Because we have this uncanny ability, an uncanny proclivity of trying to project our own realities into the past. People try to see Avraham Avinu with Astronomy. So looking at the world of Bria Sa'olam like this world today and with the speed of time and etc. in the same way, it's in itself a huge mistake. And that's what the Bikur Ba'olam will say. But first I want to show you in the spiritual sense how the world was created, the system. And then you see how that translates into the physical. And I think the greatness of Torah is to see how the spiritual and the physical are corresponding. And it's amazing to see how everything fits together in the world of consilience. And consilience is the achdus that everything fits in. Okay, the world of ten sfirot. What are the ten sfirot? The first sfira. Now, the ten sfirot, there are two ways of counting it. There is one way of counting it, and there's a second way of counting. And those two countings of the sfirot is the famous contradiction that lies in the core of the world. The world of Yedia and the world of Bechira. There is knowledge and the freedom of choice. And there is spoke so many times, they're irreconcilable. Because the sfirot, they are two aspects. And what we saw last week is, in the higher realm of sfirot, the sfira bereshit, which is the beginning, is beit reshit, is a reshit, which is the second. Because the first sfira is called keter. It's called the great crown. And the crown is above the head, which means it's above recognition. We cannot know what it is. We can only know the void of knowledge that it implies. The first revelation is always from the number two, which is the concept of Chochmah. Now everybody asks, why does the Gemara start with that base? The Gemara starts with base because our knowledge always starts with the base. That's why Bereishis starts with a base. And why? Because Bereishis tells you that the knowledge that you're starting is the number two. There is a sphere which is beyond us. And the more you know what you know, the more you realize how much you're missing. And that's the awesomeness of God's revelation, because God could have created a Truman Show. You know what the Truman Show tells you? That you think that you drink your own Kool-Aid, that you live in this world, and that's it. You know anything there has been to know, and life is good, and you know everything. God could have fooled us this way. If the world of Chochmah, which is the first of the Sfira, means Chochmah is the wisdom and the knowledge and the master plan. That could have fooled us to believe that we got everything right and we'd have lived in a Truman Show and all of our lives would be a life of fallacy. God created Chochmah in such a way that the Chochmah has, and the more you learn, the more you realize that there is something beyond much greater that you're just missing it. Don't fool yourself that what you know is what there's to be done. The more you know, the more you realize how little you know. That's why the base, which is Chochmah, base is the house, right, of this world. Chochmah is the master plan, is the first of the sphira, which is the master plan of the world. It's a house, but the beit has a little chupchik out in the back, right? The beit is like a chaf with a little thing sticking in the back. That sticking in the back is the keter. That we say, listen, I know that this is the beginning of my knowledge, but this is not the beginning of what's there to be known. Right? That's called the via negativa. You know that all of it, there is more. The more you know, the more you know how it's not real. That's why knowledge, okay, Chochmah, which is the first sphira, and we are now focusing on this first sphira, which is Chochmah. Chochmah is the knowledge, is the koachmah, is the kernel, is the master plan of the world. But tells you that there is sometimes always something bigger than that, which is actually experiential. And then the experience tells you that the experience is not real. And therefore, the idea of knowledge is that the more you go, the more you... So now, we're going to see. So, the two spheres which start the world is Keter and Chochmah. Okay? And this, we're going to talk about the development of Chokhmah, because the development of Chokhmah is the Reshit. Reshit Chokhmah. Chokhmah is always the beginning. Once you understand Chokhmah, you understand the master plan of the world in its highest form, and then you see how everything trickled down. Because what the Shloi is going to quote the Ramban is saying like this. The world was created in a what's called process. And the process, the Ramban already says, the first you create a potential and then you develop the potential. God didn't create things. He created a potential and he extracted the potential. The ultimate potential is Chokhmah. Chokhmah is the Eureka, is the knowledge in its kernel form. Clear to everybody? So we are talking about the word Reshit, and that's also Breshit, is that the beginning is the second beginning. Always the daf. We start, there is no knowledge that starts on Aleph. By the way, the Aleph is the ultimate ineffable letter. You know, the Midrash, Rosh Chodesh Bekiva says that the Aleph wanted to be used to create the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Aleph, I can't do you, because you are the word Arur starts with an Aleph. So there is, that's the Medrash, is in Utiot Rabbi Kiva, is brought by the Maral, and he says that the letter Aleph came to create the world, and Hashem told you cannot use the Aleph because the word Oror cursed starts with an Aleph. So then the base, the number two comes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, for you, you deserve to be used to be created the world, because the word Brocha starts with a base. Okay? So the Ibn Ezra, in his Akdoma to Chumash, anybody who's a Chumash, will say, the Ibn Ezra writes, and he says, I'm going to use Midrashim, but I will never use the Midrashim that make no sense. They are like almost kids' plays. One of them was this one. He says, what? You tell me that you didn't use the Aleph because the Aleph, the word Oro starts with an Aleph, and Beis starts with a Brocha? I can give you a list of bad words that start with a Beis. Burcha, Bruka, hey, it goes to the list of bad words start with a Beis. Says what? You're punishing the Aleph? Yeah, that's called selective selection, right? You're just doing whatever you want. It's completely arbitrary selection. So the Maral says in Sefer HaTiferes, the Ibn Ezra didn't understand. What the Midrash means to say is the following. What does Brocha mean? Brocha means, if you look at in the translation, Brocha is not blessed, right? The Rishonim said the word Brocha is ribui, is growth. Right? It's growth. It's like Avrachat Eilan. Now, the flows is the Rashba. The Rashba says Miloshim Brecha, which is flow. But the flow is the concept of diversity, of many, multitudes. The word Brocha. Exactly right. Exactly right. Two. Exactly the multiplicity, the beginning multiplicity. In Hebrew, the Loshon Havracha, if you take a tree, and you graft it. It's called layering. If you layer, if you put it in the ground, you turn from one many. That's called in Hebrew Havracha. Right? Mavricha Ilan. So he says, the Aleph, what's the gematria of Aleph? Right? Is 111. 1, 1, and 1. Because the Aleph is unity. Knowledge for us cannot be unity. Aleph is inexpressible. You can't, it's ineffable. You can't express the Aleph. So the Aleph relates to that idea which is beyond us. So therefore, the world could not be created with Aleph because it's the world of unity. And the world of unity relates to the world of infinity because unity means infinity. And our minds cannot conceive infinity. I told you in mathematics, in the theory of sets, there is the ineffable infinity, the ultimate infinity. It's called the ineffable infinity. And I don't know how in mathematics it's called the ineffable infinity. It's called the Aleph. The theory of the Aleph. So that idea is there. Right? Because infinities, you could play with infinities, right? You could have sets of infinities. The famous story of Axel says that if somebody went and he went to a room with an infinite number of rooms, he goes and he gets a reservation. So he says, can you give me a reservation? He says, I'm sorry, we are full. So one second, you have an infinite amount of rooms. How can you be full? He says, yeah, because you have an infinite amount of guests. So one second, but I could go ahead. We have room one and room two. So there is, why don't we fit an infinity inside between the room one and room two, which is the set of infinities. So infinities you could play with. But then you could come to something which is the ineffable infinity, which actually Axel went crazy. He went legally crazy thinking about infinities, and he called that infinity the Aleph. So thirdly, the Aleph, we can't express. That's why the world could not be created Aleph, because there's no brocha, there's no ribui, there's no multiplicity, and therefore we cannot grasp. So therefore, Chochmah is the reshit, which is the number two, which is the knowledge that we can grasp, and that's what we're talking about. Okay? So, we'll continue. We are on page two. And the first, this paragraph, V'davar zeh muvoar bekamam kumot. Right? It started in the paragraph. Kigilui eser spheres. The spheres, the ten spheres, the revelation, hem chokhma ulemata. It comes only from chokhma. Keter, we don't know. We can only know that we're missing something, but you can never know what you know. Ube chokhma, shem yud ki vovke. And therefore, the yud, hey, you realize something. The eser spheres are merumas. They are God revealed to us in the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud, He, Vav, and He, which is the ineffable name, is the Gilui of the ten Sfirot. And they are Merkava LaKeter. And this ten Sfirot, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, is what allows you to imply from it the Keter. So you know that the Keter is not part of Yud Kei Vav Kei. You know the Yud has a chupchik. You know it has a little thing that comes out on top of the Yud. It's called Kutso Shel Yud. Kutso Shel Yud is the Keter. The Keter tells you that the Yud Kei Vav Kei is the nine Sfirot, and the ten Sfira is above. It's ineffable. How many Mamorets, God created the world with ten utterances? How many times it says Vayomer in the Chumash? It says only nine. Because Bereishis is a sound but you can't speak. It's the ineffable beginning. It's the Keter. It's the remnant of the Keter. By the way, the Keter is what gives us the Eich Chochmah LeNafshecha. They say in Shabbos, the Zmiras, Vehi Keter LeRoshecha. The more you know that, you see in Chochmah, you realize that there is something beyond. It's the Keter LeRoshecha. Right? So, Kmo SheKatav HaZohar BaPasuk, Ein Kadosh Kashem. The Kashem, as if Hashem, there's no holiness and greatness like that. Why Yud Kei Vav Kei Merkova Lemore? Because the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei is the chariot, is the way how carries the master, which is the Keter. The Keter is that ineffable knowledge that we know that's there, that the Via Negativa. Ve'adat, now, if Yud Kei Vav Kei is only nine, where is the tenth? So the tenth in the Sfirot is something called Dat, and we're going to learn about it. Now, I'm going to tell you what he says here. That's what we're going to explain. The Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei Kolel Kol Atzilut. All the revelation of God is the one name which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That Yud Kei Vav Kei is the revelation of Hashem that we know of Him. Yud, we're going to learn the following. What are the ten Sfirot? Yud, the letter Yud, is Chokhmah. Is the dot. And we're going to see how, and today we're going to learn the secret of the Yud. Because if you want to learn what Chokhmah is all about, you know how you learn it from? From the letter Yud. This is the beauty of Torah. So all the ideas that you're going to develop Chokhmah, you're going to learn from the letter Yud. Hey, this Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei is Bina. There is, after Chokhmah, Chokhmah is the kernel, potential, the master plan. And then Bina is the ability to develop that. The second sphere is the ability to develop Dovar Mitoich Dovar, to expand the Chochmah. One is the male, the Yud is the male, that's why the word Ish has a Yud, and the word Isha has a Hey, she's the female. Because the male gives the potential, which is all there in the semen, and the female develops that potential. Hey is the development. Chazal said, the Pasuk in Chumash says in Parshas Kisisa, Chachomim unevoinim. So Rashi in Chumash already explains, Chochom is the one that takes coins in. It's like somebody that receives knowledge. What's Nevoinim is like the banker, Rashi says, that takes the coins that he took and invests. He cleans it, he develops it. That's the hay. And you soon see the hay is the expansion of the yud. And we're going to learn about it. And then you have Vav. The letter Vav is the number 6, which is expansion. It's like a line, it's a connector that takes the master plan into the physical reality. And the physical reality are the 6 ktsovis, are the 6 dimensions, 3 dimensions of space and 3 dimensions of time. Those are the 6 sfirot that take the master plan, which is the yud and the hey, and bring it to reality, the vav, and then the hey is malchut, and the hey is the mekablim, us that receive that. God created our ability to take all those emanations to adapt, and we're going to learn. So the 10 sfirot are the first, the keter, and that is the kutzo shliud, outside of the counting. The yod is the chokhmah. The hey is the binah, the number 2. Then we have the vav, which is the 6 midot of Hashem. That's how God relates to us. He takes the master plan to create something to relate to it. And then you have the malchut, which is the creation of the creatures to be able to receive all of that from God and to relate to Him. In our bodies, if you see the Baal HaTanya always says, if you want to understand the Tzvirot, look at yourself. We have the head with the plan, with the thinking. We have the hands of making it happening. That's the torso. And then we have the feet that to take it somewhere, to lead it somewhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that. The Chochmah and Binah is the master plan. Then the 6 is the ability to create and to give. And then Malchut, which is the second hay, is to receive. And we're going to learn each one of them, by the way, in a clean and simple way how to learn. Today is the secret of the Yud. What is Yud? Chochmah. So if you understand Chochmah, you're going to understand the Yud. And this is the beauty. You see how many things you're going to learn from this Yud. And you realize that the Yud has such a special place in Yiddishkeit, the Yud. But you're going to see how Chazal, all these ideas, are just from the letter Yud. We're going to learn what Chochmah is all about. Okay? So let's continue what it says. V'kulam b'chochma sita. All the world, everything, all the 10 sfirot, Yud Kivovke, it's all already included in potential in Chochmah. Chochmah is God creates first, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. First comes Chochmah in potential, and then He develops it. So Yud Kei Vav Kei starts always from Yud. And this is one Yesod that you're going to see from the Ramban. God didn't create things. He created always an intermediary step, which is creating the potential. By the way, this is a recurring thing in creation. You know that Gemara says that a person when he's born, before he's born, he learns Kola Terakula, and then he forgets it. Right? There's an angel that comes and hits you in your thing and you'll forget it. And I always think, what's the purpose of teaching you and making you forget it? It doesn't make any sense, right? But that's it. He creates a potential, all the Torah potential, and now you have to extract it, make it real. Always there is a potential and there is something there to make it real. In business, you should know that this is life. I'm telling you, and Chazal will always say, there's always a burst of energy that invariably goes away, and then you build it little by little. Look at Luchos HaRishonos. First you had Luchos HaRishonos, that you had all Kol HaTorah Kula, all Torah Shebaal Peh, it broke. And then you have Luchos Shniyos that we're little by little taking it to become Luchos HaRishonos. I remember we created, I was going to tell you a story, because this, if you open your eyes, it's in life like this. When the world came up with, if you remember, Michael Milken, I'm from the old generation of the world of finance, he created the world of junk bonds. He created, it was an explosion, every company, the takeover, and then this thing blew up to smithereens. Remember, everything blew up, and problems, and Milken was taken to jail. And then junk bonds became normal little by little. And today, junk bonds are normal. I mean, 90% of the market basically is junk bonds below investment grade. Derivatives, the same thing, big burst of derivatives, all this creativity, this potential, and then this big blow up that there is always, like Shvira Sakelim, and then things get rebuilt little by little. This is how Chochmah is. Chochmah is this potential, but that potential is too big. It's like when you have electricity, right? You have a jolt. If you ever see when there is a blackout and then electricity comes back, you could blow up all your fuses. I mean, I just had to put fuses in my house to be able to do it because in Lawrence we had a lot of like blackouts. And the problem is not the blackout. It's when it comes, that burst of energy burns everything, right? Because that's Chochmah. Because it's not channeled. You need to get that burst and channel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always creates this. It creates that potential. And that potential is impossible to grasp. That's Chochmah. And then you have to little by little take it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. But as we're going to learn today, every single thing is in the Yud, in the Chochmah. But it's in potential. Then you have to break it apart and expand and go through the process. The same way that you have the semen, and then you have to develop and make it happen.
The version writes that the whole entire Torah is Merubas in the koitz of the on the base and the gracious.
Yes, absolutely. In the dat, in the koitz of the gracious for sure. But it's in the yud. You'll see that this is the yud. This is the famous yud. And the pasuk says, Kulam bechochma sisa. Everything within the chochma. So therefore, the goal is first for us to learn Chochmah, to learn the mystery of the Yud, and to read how all the Torah comes actually from Yud. Because if you look at the Aleph, what is the Aleph? The Aleph are two Yuds, one facing up, one facing down, and the Vav connecting them. So if you break the Aleph, the famous Aleph, it's two Yuds. So in essence, everything is made out of Yud. And that's what we're going to learn now, the idea of Chochmah. To the Keter, we can't explain and understand, because it's beyond. We can only know what we don't know. But the Bereishis is Chochmah and Kulam b'Chochmah Sisa. Okay. Now he says like this, Al kena Chochmah is Rishis HaMachshova. That's why Chochmah is always the beginning of the master plan. Ki soid HaMachshova v'soid Shem Havaye b'miluyo. If you take Yud Kei Vav Kei in its greatest expansion, Besot Shem Ayin Beis. Everybody knows what is the Shem HaMefoirash. The Shem HaMefoirash, Chazal say, is the name of 72 letters. Right? Where are the 72 letters? Rashi says in Chumash, on the three psukim, before what? Before HaKadosh Baruch reveals us himself where? By Kriyas Yamsuf. There are 72 letters going, and the three psukim of 72 letters exactly. So if you take the first pasuk of the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the middle pasuk, and the first letter of the third pasuk, those three, and you create, those are the 72 names. The Shem HaMefoirash, the Shem Ayin Beis. You're going to see something very cool. The Shem Ayin Beis is really the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Milu Yud. If you look at the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Milu Yud, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why? If you spell the Yud Kei Vav Kei, there are four ways of spelling out Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, right? The letter Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. The letter He. If you spell the He, He Yud, and then Vav, you put a Yud, Vav, you spell the letter Vav as Vav, Yud, Vav. And the He as He, Yud. If you take the gematria of this, which means that at every letter of the Yud Kei Vav Kei has a Yud, the gematria is 72, right? Yud is 20, He is 15, Vav is 22, and He is 15, right? So this is altogether 72. That is something called the Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Milu Yud. If you take and you spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei, in its spelling out, in the depth of the spelling out, you come out to 72, because it means that every letter of the Yud, K, Vav, K has a Yud. And this is the strongest and the deepest revelation of Hashem, is the name 72. Lemoshel, you could have the same, the name of Hashem is called the Meshem, Memhei. Mem Heis Bimilui Aleph. Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, but the Hey, you spell instead of Hey Yud, you spell Hey Aleph. Vav, you spell Vav Aleph Vav. And you spell Hey Aleph, that's Begimatrik 45. That's a different Shem. But the Shem Shamayim Begilu Yud is 72, and that's the highest form and the deepest form of revelation of Hashem. Mimenu is Pashas Kol HaMetzius. When Shem Shamayim becomes Bimilu Yudim, all the creation is in that Yud. And how many Yuds are there in Yud Ke Vav Ke Bimilu Yud? How many Yuds?
Four.
There are four Yuds. So this is the mystery of the four Yuds. And understanding the four Yuds, you understand all the creation. Because those four Yuds on the name 72 is the world that we know that has it. And that's what we're going to learn today. So he says like this, Ki oilam chesed ibane. The world was created of chesed. Chesed is, what is chesed? Chesed is giving, is kindness, but in itself is potential and expansion. The word chesed is not only kindness, it's potential, it's giving, it's expansion. The world is expanding. That's the expansion of the world is chesed. And chesed olay begimatria, what's the gematria of the word chesed? 72. Because that is the chesed of the world. That's the potential that everything God gave to us is in the yuds of the Shem Shamayim. Umin chesed ulemata, and that potential, that kindness, that's what he gave us. He gave us the yuds. Is Galus Abinyan. From this, the construct of the world comes about. So Hashem reveals his name. In his name, there is the whole creation, the whole construct, and everything is in these Galus of the Yuds. Aval hun lelam bechesed ilo shechochma. So chochma is the plan of the chesed. Chesed is what you do. Chochma is that potential of that chesed. Rosh kava chesed reishis chochma. Okay, that's the beginning. Vihine abinyan u'shlosha kavim. Now he's going to say, the world always, and this is the Maral who always say, the world, and that's why, by the way, the Christians loved Kabbalah, because the world is created in three lines. Do you ever see your tefillin? Has three, right? Has the sheen with three, right? It's a yud with vav, right? The sheen. Because the world is created with three lines. There are three channels of the world. And the world was created in three ways. You see why. One of them is the Kava Chesed. One of them is called the Chesed, which is expansion. The world is potential and expansion. And that's the world. If you look in, even on the planets, right? And the planets in all the solar, in all this, the what you call it, all the cosmic systems, they're expanding. That's one line. But then there is an opposing line, which is called the Kava Gvura, which is the line which contracts, limits, ties it in. So when Hashem gave the Chesed, right? The Chesed is that potential of the world. In order to be able to extract that potential, he gave us three channels. That's why we live in a three-dimensional world. Right? These three dimensions. What are the three spiritual dimensions? One dimension is the chesed, which is the potential, which is expanding. One dimension is contracting. It's called the kava gvura. If you look, there is a great book that I mentioned to you before called Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow by two great psychologists. They won the Nobel Prize in Economics. Kahneman and Tversky. Two Jewish guys, one Litvish and Chassidish, they become Nafrum anymore, but they were, right? Kahneman, Ivanovich, Tversky, Chassidish, and they go to the, our mind has those two forces. One of them is the thinking fast, that you have this idea of explosion of ideas. It's warm and everything goes, it's like this energy. And then you have something which is the thinking slow, which is very rational. It says, oh, second, you're going to do that, you look at the risks and look at that. The balancing act, the contracting. Those are the two. And those are the two lines. And that's why the world was created, in essence, with a bait. I told you the diversity of the world are those two powers, one expanding and one contracting. And then there is the third power, which is doing what? Is the ability to balance these two opposing powers, to be able to create unity among the opposites. And that's the beauty of the world. So the world is the world of potential. That potential is the unity. He created three lines to be able to extract that opportunity. The chesed, which is the potential, which is expansion, the thinking fast, the thinking slow, and the ability to create a balance between the two. The Maharal always says the number two in Hebrew is the only number which is always in the plural. If you look at echad, in Hebrew is in the singular. Shnaim or shtaim is in the plural. The number shalosh or shlosha, number three, four, five, six, is always in the singular. Why? Because the number two is the plurality, is this duality, those two forces which are in essence irreconcilable. They're irreconcilable. You need a third force, which is the one that allows you to reconcile, to put it together. And those are the three lines, and that's why there are three yuds. There's the yud on the hay, there's a yud on the vav, and there's a yud on the hay. Because in potential, those are the three forces, and all comes from the first yud. So the first yud is the potential, and it divides itself into the first mitosis. Like, it's truly, anybody knows biology. The first mitosis, the first yud, turns into three yuds. And that's why there are four yuds in Shem Shamayim. The first yud. And the first yud has the three yuds embedded into them. And we're going to see how is that possible. And it breaks into the three yuds, the yud of the hay, the yud of the vav, and the yud of the hay. Yes. That's the gestation, the 40 weeks of gestation, 40 days. Absolutely, because this is how Shem Shamayim is gestating. This is the gestation of Shem Shamayim. Exactly right. If you want to take the Torah, the Gemara says if you want to learn something, you learn it 40 times to know it. Exactly right. Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shamayim 40 days to learn it. Now you could understand it. Exactly right. The Gemara says you got Talmud cannot understand what his rabbi says until he's 40 years old. That's why people learn Kabbalah, they're 40. It's all apparent. The beauty of Torah is that every single thing is consistent. You think that is arbitrary. You do this and you do that, and Torah looks at completely of arbitrary, a mishmash and a torrent of ideas. Once you understand this, you see that everything is connected. And it's amazing. That's why I always say, you can't prove that Torah is right. But if you learn Torah, you know that it's right. Nobody could come up with such a system on his own. If he did, he should have done something else and make a lot of money. To create this doesn't make any sense. So that's the beauty of it, right? So just keep an eye. Today we're going to learn all of these secrets. Once you understand this, and the truth is that if you take those ideas and you apply to the world, you'll see that you could make your life much easier because you understand the system, how the world is created, and there is this correspondence that everything is there. But that's why the number 40 has such significance. We're going to see afterwards how it goes. But that's it. Those are the four yuds. So the three yuds, the yud of chesed, expansion, the yud of gvura, the one to contract, and the one to the balance the two, which is called in Chazal, that's called the maskala. That's called the balancing aspect of the world. And it's all included in the first yud. Right? So those are the secret of the four yuds. That's why if you look at something interesting, if you look at it filling, on one side it has four, and one side it has three. Right? The shin of three, because it's not the shin, it's a yud that comes down, the vav, because that's the moichin, that's your head. You're representing the head of Hashem, kibiyochol. Right? That there's three and there is four, because the three is three and the four wraps it together, makes it all one. Okay? So just look at it. The construct of the world is three lines. Kava chesed, kava din, and kava rachamim. The third one, which is the balance, is called rachamim. Rachamim is din and chesed together. When you have pity on somebody, that somebody you want to do kindness for somebody who's suffering. Because in life, you have to create this unity. V'shoresh ha'binyan u'chochma u'tvuna v'das. In Chazal, this three this three-party system works in Chesed, Din, and Gvura, Chesed, Din, and Rachamim, but also works in the Moichin. In the Moyach, where the Chochmah is the potential, what is Tvuna? Tvuna is taking that potential, that idea, and breaking it down, and making it palatable. So you see that even in the thinking, thinking fast and thinking slow, Chochmah is thinking fast, Tvuna is thinking slow. And then you have Das. That's what's called Das. Das is blending the two. It's to make sure that there is that tension. Okay? In other words, because if a guy is only thinks fast, nothing in life happens. If the like guy only thinks slow, nothing. Life is a balancing act between the two. That's Das. Das in Chazal, Loshon Das is Loshon to connect. Ve'adam yadait chava ishto. That's why Das is always connection. Das is the ability to connect these two opposing powers, the thinking fast and the thinking slow. So the same way that Chesed, Din, and Rachamim in your mind works the same way. So the system is always this, one expanding, one contracting, and the force to balance the two together. Okay? Which is the three to put together. Kava Chesed, v'shor ha-shabin le'malu chochmot v'navedas. Now he says something like this. Ve'adasu b'b'chinat ha-keter. I told you, there's no crown. The keter, we don't know. But what we can know from the keter is das. Das is knowledge, to be able to connect the thinking fast and the thinking slow, that allows to create unity among opposites. And that is the power of keter. Keter is that knowledge that we don't know, that's beyond, that's ineffable, that's irreconcilable, that we don't know what it is. What we know is the ability to reconcile opposites, to show that opposites can reconcile. So Das is what we can use of this to connect Chochmah and Bina, which means you have thinking fast and thinking slow. Then you have the ability to connect. Lemoshel, life is you have Chesed and there is Din, two opposites. You have to reconcile the two. How do you balance the two? The Torah, we know, Chazal say like this, that how Glilo, look at Glilo also, Chazal, Glilo is Gimel Lamed Lamed, right? 3:30:30. How Glilo, the Gemara said, that person from Galilee was used to say a bracha by Matan Torah, the Gemara in Daf Pites and Shabbos says, Brich Rachmon, blesses the God that gave us a triple Torah, Torah Nevim Uksovim, to a triple nation, Kohanim, Levim, Israelim, in the third month, right? Sivan is the third month, in the third day of Shloshas Me'agbola, by the third brother, which is Moshe. So the Torah is the 3, 3, 3, and 3 together. What's the significance of the 3, 3, and 3 together? Because Torah is the balancing act. Torah allows you to reconcile the two, the Chesed and Din, the thinking fast and the thinking slow. That's Das. That's why Torah is Das, is the ability to reconcile these things. So those are the three kavim that we have, and that's how Torah is Das. By the way, these dualities, opposing dualities, Ish v'Isha, the Ish and the Isha are, one is the thinking fast and one is the thinking slow. Right? Thinking fast is the husband, the potential. Right, the one who goes to conquer, and the wife is to put things into place. She keeps the husband in check. I always said that's a wife is the one who holds it back. But you know that number two is never reconciled. But I told you the two in Hebrew is the only number which is always in the plural. So how can you have a marriage last together? I always said that's maybe why in America so many marriages fail, right? Because they don't have. So Chazal say that could be the child, the Vlad. But in Chazal, what they say is Shechina Beinayim. If you want to work things together, there is a spiritual force that puts it together. The Torah that's there to put it together. That's the number three. That's Das. That's why Ve'odam Yoda is Chava Yishtoi. Odam, to be able to connect to his wife, needs Das. And Das is that balancing act. It's called the Maskala. Das is that power. And that comes from the keter, because that's beyond knowledge. It's experiential. it's feeling, it's siyata dishmaya, it's something that comes above. If you think that you know it all, you'll never be able to reconcile someone who's different. The second that you know that you don't know it all, you could reconcile with somebody. So those are the three lines. Chesed, din, rachamim, which in the process of thinking is chokhmah, bina, and da'at. And those are the same things. Those are the three yudim. Ktiv, Hashem bechokhmah yesad aretz. The eretz comes from chokhmah. Konen shamayim bitvunat, bina is the shamayim. Uktiv betat tomot nifkau. And the opening of the seas, the parting of the seas, the allowing to go, is that. Ushloshet eile shlosh shoresh shloshet akavim. And chokhma, bina, and that is the root of the three lines of transmission. Darnu chokhma is shoresh kav chesed. I told you chokhma is the beginning of chesed expansion. I told you thinking fast. Bina is the ability, maybe in the breaking down knowledge, thinking slow, is the beginning of midat adin. And that, bebchinat haketer shav rachamim, and that is the ability to connect the two. The same way rachamim is the ability to connect and balance the two. So if you look at the source, chokhma, bina, and that, as it expresses itself, is chesed, din, and rachamim. Is that clear? We're going to expand this a lot because this is something you realize that these three forces, the two forces and the balancing power, is throughout, is ubiquitous, is everywhere in Torah. Right? Look at Avram. Avram Avinu midas chesed. Right? He gives houses open and everything is inclusive. Then he has a son who takes the opposite. Yitzchak is called midat adin. Right? Pachad Yitzchak. Yitzchak, you don't even hear his name. He's not mentioned anywhere. He's the one that is Ketzchai, is so limiting, so constraining, to the point that he thought that Esav is really his son. He's really the one to continue. So Rashi says that Esav never mentioned Shem Shamayim, right? He says, a kol Yaakov, because he thought that Yaakov was mentioning Hashem, Kikar Shem Olkech Alfanai. He mentioned Shem Shamayim. And Yitzchak never mentioned, Esav never mentioned Shem Shamayim. So Rav Utner asks, one second, how did he think that Esav is his son if he didn't mention Shem Shamayim? You know why? Because Yitzchak also never mentioned Shem Shamayim. He's the ultimate constraining and limiting.
Also, he's the one who rebuilt the well. So Avraham was creativity.
And he's just rebuilding. Exactly right. They're thinking slow. And who is the blend between the two? Is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avin is called Yoshish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. He sat in tents. Shariora says, what the tents in the plural? The tent of Avram, the tent of Yitzchak. He's the blend. He represents Das, he represents Torah. That's why he represents Torah. Torah is the balancing act. Always is this. So always these three ideas are always there. That's why Lahavdil, that's why Christians are so attracted to Kabbalah. Because you realize the system is this. Right? You have the Lehavdil, the Trinity. That's where they got the Trinity from. So that's why they were the ones who published the Zohar, and they were, when they were burning the Talmud, we didn't want to print the Zohar. They forced us to print the Zohar. Says, aha, you have a secret of the Trinity, they don't want to tell us. Because this is all the system. Hashem Echod, he gave us these three. We're going to see why we needed to see three. Why is this system? But the system is ubiquitous. So in the process of thought, there is this three. If you look at your own mind, you're thinking fast and thinking slow, and the ability, which Kahanama wrote the whole book on this, is balancing the two. You have to constantly struggle. That's why Jews, right? We are always constantly challenging ourselves. We also have this guilty feeling because we're never at peace, because we're always trying to reconcile opposites, right? This is Das. This is our ability to do it with Das. This is the world of thought. In the world of action is Chesed, Din, and Rachamim. Right? So that's what he says. V'akavim nyan izgal kem dimud vavim. So therefore, not like this. When those three lines become Chesed, Din, and Rachamim, they become a Vav. Because Vav is like a line that's bringing it down. Ulemala beshorsham. But at the root, they are like Yudim. They are points. They are the three little points. the hainu nekudot. They are little points. Verachti bidrush. Ve'elu shalosh yudim. Those three yudis are the three yudim shebimilo shem nizkalel. Those are the yudim I mentioned on Shem Shamayim. Shem Shamayim has hey, vav, and hey. Each one has a yud. From zimet galut kutoy barach al diatora l'Yisrael shebinyan olam. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to us. He reveals himself with these powers. You look at the world, right? In the world, the world has a force which is expanding the universe, and there is a balancing force which is contracting. And these two forces are fighting, and there is some kind of a magical balance keeping them in balance. Because otherwise, if one would be over the other, the world would collapse each other or would spread out to infinity. Right? It's always creating that balance. That balance is the famous skill of the world. And that Chazal call in Sefer Safed, it's news of the Maskala. The world has a power to balance its opposites. That's why the world is created as a scale with two plates. And all of life is balancing these two plates. And that's why in a marriage you need the balance. All of life is a balance. And that's why thinking first, Kahneman and Tversky, I always say it's so funny, right? Kahneman and Tversky are the psychologists that created this whole school. They won the Nobel Prize of Economics. The only psychologist ever to win the Nobel Prize of Economics is these two forces in the brain, which is called thinking fast and thinking slow. And it's interesting because one of them, Tversky, comes from a Hasidic family, and the Kahneman comes from a real Litvish family, the founders of Ponovich Yeshiva, which is also those two forces, right? Hasidim are the expanding, the thinking fast, everything goes, is ecstatic, and the Litvish are these limiting guys. 1 second, you have to size the feeling, and this is man Krishna, is man this, is man that. Very limited and constraining. And is the balance between the two. The book, which is one, the overrise of economics, right? This is behavior economics 101, that it becomes foundational economics, is the balancing of the two, the Kahanos and the Tversky's, which is the thinking fast and thinking slow, the two youths of the Chesed and Din, which is Chochmah Bina. Now you see, the system is ubiquitous everywhere. And if you want to learn the system, you always know that that's the case. And I'll just finish. Okay. Od yesh yud revid b'shamanal, but then you have a yud in the beginning, the fourth yud, the hainu yud min yud, kielo shalosh yudim nechassim b'yud achad, because the yud, the first yud, is the source and the nekuda where before these three came into mitosis. They are included and they are in the first nekuda. These three powers become one in the first original yud, and we'll see how the yud is really three letters, yud, vav, and dalet, which are the three powers of that. We're going to see, which is Chesed in Rachm in the first Yud. The Yud, you could break the Yud down, the letter, the first Yud, you could break into three parts. Then the Yud has three parts. There's a little thing above. The Gava Yud, and then there is the side of the Yud, and then there is the regular Yud. The Yud also has three parts. So that these three powers in the Shoresh, the only one, Hashem Yud Achaz Bitzad HaKeter. They are... This is how God, before he reveals himself, we, to understand him, need to break it down into three. But in essence, it's only one. This is the ultimate soid of the world. So this is for tonight. So if you think about it, you realize that these powers, the powers of the Yud, the secrets of the Yud, is the Yud that you're going to see. We're going to see Mitzvah Hashem next, and the next time we see how the Yud in itself, how we spell it, the Yud, Vav, and Dalet, also represent that. And this is this power that once you understand that, life will make a lot more sense. But this is the world in its core powers, these three forces. The forces of expansion, the thinking fast, something called Chesed, the Chochmah, big potential, big is the one that you want to do everything. And the one that limits, constrains, channels, which is called Bina, Mevin Dover, Mitoch Dover, breaking it down, that we call thinking fast, that Midah Sadin, that you want to do something, you measure and you cut it. And Das is the ability, which is something beyond ourselves, to try to balance the two. And life is balancing. But the balance is the Keter, because it comes from something above. You realize the balancing is the hardest thing in the life. And it has to be something beyond you. because otherwise you cannot balance it. And all of life is that scale, the tilting of the scale and keeping it in balance.
Can you catch him? Is there a connection between the four yuds and the keys?
Those are the four keys, absolutely. We know the word key. Once you understand, these are, everybody said, the four yuds are the four children. The four children, the four questions. In life, there are four questions. And the keter is inu yud alishal. Right? You don't know what to ask. That's the keter. Right? You just think about it. Those three yuds, those are the chochom, the rosha, and the tam, are keneged those three, and then the inu yud alishal is the keter, right? You can't ask. That's a put together. That's so, right? At psachloi. That's exactly it. Yes.
You said mentioned that the keter is the balance, although it's so high. I always thought that das is called the maskala, the mishka, the scale. And right. Within das, they don't line up as three kavim, they just line up
as one. The short. So das, as the Arizal says, right? Das is what we understand of the keter. Is the keter as revealed to us. We're going to learn. We're going to see the difference between das and keter. But das is always keter. It's the ability how the three become one. Huh?
Demtsoy.
That's the maskala. That's the one. That's the scale, right? There is a scale that do plates, and there is the scale in between that creates the balance. That's the balance. That's why the balance of the person, where's the balance of the person? In the ear. That's why in Hebrew, it's interesting, right? What's the balancing it's called? Moznaim, wizun. And the ozen is to listen, right? Because, No, mishkal is weight. Izun is balance. If you like, we see a balance sheet in Hebrew, it's called a ma'azan, right? Because, but ma'azan, izun, comes from Loshon ozen. Why? Because the ear is the balance, right? Everybody knows. Now, why is the ear the balance? I told you because you have to hear something. It's das, it's something outside of you. You have to listen to something. The ability to balance is something beyond you. You have always to be husband and wife. You need shechina b'neim. If you don't have shechina b'neim, the balance comes from not within, it comes from outside. You have to listen to it. It requires a lot, you see, to create a balance. It needs to be mevatel yourself. Yeah, I always say the balance husband and wife, you have to be mevatel yourself. You have to be able to listen. I always say that's the means on Shabbos. One of the greatest forms, Avraham Avinu, right? Became Avraham Avinu. You know what the lesson was given to him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Lech lecha me'aretzecha v'latecha l'avetev. Go to the place that I'll tell you. Doesn't tell where he's going to. So the Medrash says, Shimi ba'aturi hatiyoz nechoshmi. Listen to me. In other words, you've got to listen to the clues and you find where to go. And the Medrash says, because Avraham Avinu lived on clues, right? Because he saw Birado, like he saw building burning. And he said, who is the building burning? Must be a god, and he'll search for God. If you look at the pattern, always comes. Because the book tells it, Bincha et yechidcha asher ahavta. It doesn't tell you right away. You have to search. I said, the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go to the land that I'll show you. You have to listen to find, because these ideas come from outside, but the person has to be, Avraham Avinu was taught, that for you to be a Jew, you've got to listen, to search for something. The same way the balance comes from outside, because it comes from the keter, comes from something beyond, that allows it to create and unify opposites. And that's the shortage that's always comes from the outside. The Torah is the balance of the marriage. Rashi says, some people say, the child is a balance, but it's also from the outside. If you try to balance yourselves within yourselves, like some people say, we will decide, I'll take the big decisions, and the other one will take the small decisions. That never works, because you never know what big decisions and the small decisions are. Which means that's it. So now you couldn't understand because those are the yuds, right? The yuds and the third yud, which is the yud of the keter, that's the one that puts it all together, really comes das, is really the expression of keter. Have a great week. I'll see you 2 weeks.